This is MSO Newsports.com. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Julia Green, who is an adjunct professor teaching U.S. history at North Shore Community College, and she has done research on Bud Fowler. Before we get to that, Julia, tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to Lynn and how you came to history.
Okay. Well, actually, I grew up in Lynn. And I am an adjunct professor here at North Shore Community College, and I've also done a lot of historical research, especially about the abolitionist in the Lynn area. And how I got involved in looking a little bit into Bud Fowler was that actually our state representative, Brendan Crichton, had learned that Bud Fowler was the first professional African-American baseball player in the U.S., and he got his start right here in Lynn. And so we had a meeting, and there were newspaper articles from the Boston papers at the time, but nothing for Lynn. So I just went and did some research and found the articles about Bud Fowler and his big day in Lynn as the first professional African-American baseball player.
Well, I hope you can share some of the stories that you have on what baseball was like at that time. So we're talking now about 1877, 1878. Now, this is way before Jackie Robinson hit the major leagues. And Bud Fowler was born in 1858. And to put that into some context again, just before the Civil War, just a couple of years before Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States in 1860. So that's the context here. And Bud Fowler grew up in Cooperstown, New York, which, interestingly enough, again, is the location now of the Baseball Hall of Fame. So tell us about this. Tell us about Bud Fowler and, I guess, and his journey to Lynn.
Yeah, well, we just have bits and pieces of how he made it to Lynn. But basically, they say that Bud Fowler was playing baseball in Cooperstown probably as soon as he could walk, and he was obsessed with the sport. His parents wanted him to not play baseball, and they wanted him to get an education and get a career. So I think that's why he ends up at the age of like 17, 18 when he came to Lynn, or a little later even. I think it was like he's 20 years old or so, that he was actually at Chelsea High School. And he was enrolled as a student there, but he was also spending all of his time playing baseball in different leagues or wannabe minor league people. And so he had been observed at several games, probably by baseball scouts. And what had happened in Lynn was Lynn had started a baseball team called the Live Oaks. And it was actually sponsored by the Lynn Item, the newspaper, the Daily Item. And that newspaper had just started up, believe it or not, at the end of in December of 1877. So they were only like 4 months old, 5 months old at the time. So they were sponsoring the Live Oaks baseball team, and they weren't doing so well. And so what happened was the pitcher, you know, was laid up, and there's questions of whether it was because of alcohol abuse or a lame arm. I've seen both. And anyway, they had been losing all these games, so they must have brought...
Let me just stop you, Julia. Yeah. Sometimes that can be related, right? The arm and the alcoholism. So, you know, it's just possible.
Yeah, that's true. It could have been. So anyway, they brought Bud Fowler in to be the relief, not even a relief pitcher, but the pitcher to take over for the ailing pitcher. And so this was Bud Fowler's big chance. So he came, and it was the second game against the Tecumsehs, who were out of Ontario, Canada, actually, and they were here for like a series of games. And in this first game, they completely killed the Live Oaks, and that they wiped the field with them, basically. And then what happened? I can tell you the score was 14-0. Yeah. That's how bad of a game it was. So in the next game, they brought Bud Fowler in, and he totally turned it around. Live Oaks 3 and the Tecumsehs 0. But what happened there, though, too, is that the Tecumsehs walked off the field. And the conjecture is that they walked off the field because they had a new pitcher, Bud Fowler. He was African-American. He was black. They did not want to lose to somebody they felt, you know, shouldn't even be there, maybe. And there was no color barrier in baseball at the time because baseball was such a new sport and it was developing. And here we are in, you know, northern United States. So there was no, like, barrier for African-American blacks to play on teams. But still, when they did play, a lot of times they received a lot of discrimination. Discrimination from the crowds, discrimination from other players or opposite teams who didn't want to play against a team with a black player. Yeah. So,
and again, we're dating ourselves kind of well before, well, as you were kind of alluding or mentioned actually directly, is that the color barrier for minorities in the major leagues, you know, probably hadn't started at that point yet. And so I know you even have a few articles, like even how the accounts of these games were written. And
yeah.
So what can you tell us about, you know, the length of time Bud Fowler, say, played in Lynn?
Well, it was like literally a month or 2 months is what he played in Lynn, because he came, he played, and then what happened is about a month later, the Lynn Item wrote a scathing op-ed or editorial criticizing the Live Oaks management because there was too much drinking going on with the players of the team. And so after that scathing editorial, the Live Oaks decided to move to Worcester. So they left Lynn. And then they left like a farm team in Lynn, and Bud played on that for a couple of weeks. And then the next where he pops up later in a month or two is in Malden. And he pops up playing for a team there. And that's what happens for the historians that are associated with the Baseball Hall of Fame. All the research they've done is that they've, you know, just have a Bud Fowler trail all over the United States of teams he played for and then had to leave when either opposition team or local opposition to the fact that there was a black player playing on the baseball team. And so then he would just continue going to another team that would take him, play for a while for them. I think he played for 17 teams in 10 years. So that's it's kind of his trail of tears goes from New England to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, that's really interesting, but I want to stop there and just backtrack, because I know when you and I talked before, you also were able to shed some light on what the city of Lynn was like at that time. In other words, why the Item would write an editorial like that. What was this community like? Obviously, in a way, similar and yet, you know, not the same as it is today. But tell us what was going on in the city at that time, that in the context of baseball, if you could.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things were happening in Lynn. Lynn's history was actually that they were a big abolitionist town, so there was a lot of, you know, tolerance here in Lynn, so that was part of it. There was probably a large African-American population that lived in the city of Lynn. It was booming because it was an industrial city that was just, this was the heyday of Lynn becoming a big powerhouse. And so that's, you know, with the startup of the Lynn Item at that time, you know, it became the largest newspaper in the city and had, you know, a century practically of history there, or more, actually, I should say, because
yeah.
They're still around today. But it was also like a Quaker town, so a lot of the industrialists were Quakers, and so they were abolitionists, but they were also, you know, into the temperance movement, and the temperance movement, of course, was anti-alcohol. So it's not kind of surprising that you see this, you know, editorial criticizing the fact that the baseball players are drinking all the time. And that they don't want to see that behavior with the baseball team that's associated with the newspaper.
Yeah.
So,
the The information that you are aware of on Bud Fowler, you mentioned Boston Papers, you mentioned the Lynn item, and you mentioned the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. What kind of information does the Hall of Fame have on Bud Fowler?
Well, they have a lot of information. I have a paper by Hugh McDowell, who's the Cooperstown Village historian, and he wrote a paper, and I mean, he basically has news articles from all across this country. So he really did this amazing research on Bud Fowler and following where Bud Fowler went and, you know, where he played. And then after being shut out of professional baseball, goes on to start African-American teams and then later tries to start a league, isn't able to get the financing, but tries to do all of that. So he dies at the age of 55, which is pretty young when you think about this fit man, you know, that's a baseball player. And he dies in, you know, poverty, and he's buried in a pauper's grave in New York, you know. So it's kind of sad because he's never able to realize his dream of playing professional baseball, the only thing he ever really wanted to do, you know.
Julie, I'm going to have you as maybe a closeout here. Have you read one of the articles from the item on Bud Fowler? And maybe you can set that up for us. So this was an afternoon edition, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was the second newspaper of the day, the Friday evening edition, May 17th, 1878. And they say, "Whoopee, big engine, tables turned, great oaks from little acorns grow. The champion kickers forfeit the game, the full score. Live Oaks 3 and Tecumseh's 0. So here's what the article says. About 300 persons assembled to witness the second game with the Tecumsehs. Fowler, the colored Chelsea pitcher, pitched for the Oaks, and Wood of the same club played center field. Price and O'Leary laying off." So it was O'Leary. It was Price who was the pitcher before. In the first inning, Sullivan and Say got bases on errors of Bradley and Dorship, but could not score. The Tecumsehs didn't see first. In the second, Wood took first on Dunnigan's error, and Spence and Lapham hit safe. Wood went out trying to score, and the Oaks lost a chance for a run. Burke got first on balls and stole second. He was caught napping and declared out. It was certainly a close thing, and the Tecumsehs kicked so hard that Mr. Murphy, the umpire, was removed, James Tufts taking his place. The Tecumsehs did not score. So it keeps going on, but I'm going to jump to the every inning, you know, there's 0-0-0 for Tecumsehs. In the seventh, the Oaks were blanked. Hornung and Burke got first on errors of Spence and Lapham. Hornung was put out trying to get to third. Barnes struck a fly to Hayes, who caught it and fielded it handsomely home in time to cut off Barnes, who was trying to score. Everyone considered Barnes out, but he refused to continue the game and forfeited 9-0 in favor of the Oaks. Barnes drew down a good deal of no favorable comment by his constant kicking and evidently wanted to umpire the game himself. Fowler's effective pitching and the handsome manner in which he was backed up fairly earned the game for the Oaks, and the score follows, and they show the box.
That writing is fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, that would have been written 1878,
yes,
right?
Yes, May 17th, 1878.
Right. Yeah. Well, Julia, thanks so much for all of this, and thanks for your work on this. This is obviously a great story. A great story, you know, for the city of Lynn, I think, too, but also to tell, you know, to share the story of Bud Fowler.
Okay, thank you.
Julia Green with us, again, an adjunct professor of history at North Shore Community College, done a lot of work on Lynn history in particular, with us here on MSONewsSports.com.